little poem that I learned from him, and one part of it says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And what you've just seen is a sermon. But I'd like to follow up on some of the things that Beth has told you through her life. You know, the mystery, but yes, also the miracle of the church, the Christian, and the relationship we have with Christ is that we all have a story. We would not be here if we did not know Christ's story. So stories are powerful. When Jesus taught, many times what he did was he told stories. He told these parables. He used simple little things like a vine and seeds, and he began to talk and to teach, and people's lives were changed by that. And through all of this, it just reminds us again of who Jesus is. If you can see the title of my message when they put it up here, it simply says, when life doesn't turn out the way I expected. Everybody has a preferred way that life is supposed to turn out, obviously. But when it doesn't turn out that way, usually it throws us a big curve. But notice my message says when and not if, because it is going to happen. We understand that. We live in a very circumstantial world, and it's full of turmoil, because life doesn't always turn out the way we planned. And you and I, we've dreamed and we've worked hard and we've struggled and we've gone through so many things, and yet at the same time, life seems to just spin out of control sometimes. Did you notice in her story, just like many of our stories, it was a simple phone call, a voicemail, something that drew our attention, and then we got more information and we're drawn into this tragedy or this drama, and life tends to do that. Marriages do fail, ladies and gentlemen. Our bodies do fall apart. Our best dreams that we ever had sometimes don't come true. I'm not trying to paint a black picture here today. This isn't about a black cloud that hangs over all of us, but it's still the truth, because sometimes our plans just simply go south, and yes, people die. People die. And sometimes we cry for help and we wonder if anybody really hears. You know, in this world, we have doctors who are going to help us with our failing bodies. We have psychologists and counselors who will help us with our mental and our emotional needs. But who's going to heal the broken heart? Who's going to take care of the crushed spirit? And if you're not careful, you're going to let Satan, or Satan would love to just kind of weave this thread of disappointment and discouragement and all of these things into this sermon. And it's anything but. Because this is about the victory that we read, not only in Revelations, but the victory in our own hearts whatsoever. Because it's about love. It's about all of these different things that God has done. Our life sometimes seems to conflict, though, with Jeremiah 29:11. It's right up there on the screen. For I know the plans I have for you, declares who? The Lord. This is the Lord talking to us. I know what I've got planned for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Monday, June the 4th of this year, Pop, who is the other grandfather to our granddaughters, left work, went for a run, collapsed, and was dead. I mean, just out of nowhere. And Pop and I were big buddies. Wow, man, we just couldn't wait to spend more money on those kids. Golly, we loved it when they'd come up and just run. And now, Bob's not here. My wife Debbie's in Atlanta this weekend. And just this week, a companion of hers, someone that she works with, 45 years old, 3 kids, died. Things like this happen, ladies and gentlemen, and it's very difficult. My son has a sister-in-law. Her name is Taylor. 6 months ago, she had this beautiful little third boy in her family, and just after weeks, they discovered something's not quite right, and they started having him evaluated, and they realized that basically this child is blind. And in the coming few days, they're going to fly to Philadelphia, live there for about 60 days, 2 months, just so that he can be evaluated and possibly have a surgery for the correction on one eye, just one eye, the possibility of this one eye, that he'll have sight again. These are the things that happen to all of us. That's just a little of my story. You heard Beth's story. Well, what is yours? We all have a story. And there again, please understand, this isn't about knocking the scab off the wound. This isn't about reoccurring and let's just bring that pain all back to the surface. No, this is about what Jesus Christ can do in our life. And listen, we can change the names to protect our privacy all we want, but my story and your story, it's all the same. We have emotional pain. We have failures. People betray us. There's heartbreak. There's sin. Yeah, we commit sin. Betrayal, disappointment. All of these happens to us. They are no match for these words. And we find them in this book. Grace, love, redemption, forgiveness, comfort, strength, peace. Those are the things. And yes, even the hope of a future that Jeremiah, through God's word, told us that we could have because the Lord has declared that for us. He didn't hope it. He didn't just wish it. No, he's declared that we will have it. And we are bound to just listen and let God do his thing. Because if we will let him, if we will let God, that will be our reality as well. But on our way there, we ask these questions. But why? But why? And they understand, listen, that's a valid question. It's okay. God's not offended when you ask why. Jesus on the cross, nailed to the cross, dying on the cross, said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus asked why. I ask why. You ask why. It's a valid question. And you may not find the reasoning behind the statement, but Lawrence Wilson said this. Sometimes God allows our circumstances to unravel beyond the point where we can cope with them, because otherwise we would solve our own problems and perhaps not turn to God or give him glory. What was the result of the last time you solved your problems apart from God? It was probably very short-lived and it was probably very limited. God has a much better plan for us than we ever dreamed. And when Jesus asked why you have forsaken me, it probably ripped the heart of God, but he knew what he was going. But more often than not, that question, while it may be valid, is going to be very limited. It's never going to be answered, at least to your satisfaction. Are we ever going to know why people die? Are we ever going to know why young children born less than a year old are going to be born blind? All of these things and more and more and more. Why? You're never going to be satisfied. And you'll probably never get the answer, quite honestly. But the more important question is not why. The more important question is what now? What now? Why freezes you, literally paralyzes you in the past in these common circumstances that will drain you of your energy and tell you that God doesn't care and that this Lord Jesus Christ, who may have forgiven you of your sins, but he's not going to walk with you through life, that's what why keeps you. And when we start asking what now, we're asking God for that future that he has promised us. We're looking for that hope that he has declared, and that's the better question. What should we do now? Listen, don't ever forget this, and that is that God is still good. This world wants to rob you of even the idea, much less the experience, that God is a good God. In the midst of everything that we experience, God is still God, and God is still good. Guess what? God doesn't need my defense. I don't need to be up here to be the spokesman for God. He speaks for himself through his word and everything. But when bad things happen, too often we tend to blame God, or at least nothing else. We hold him responsible somehow. And I understand why we do that. But let me take you to Psalms, the 25th chapter. It says, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they have been from eternity past. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake. God is good. And everything that happens in this life does nothing to dispel that. And if that's true, though, why is there so much heartache in the world? Why is that true, Pastor? Well, let me take you to John Hamby. He said this, the reason there is evil in the world is because the devil is real. He is the father of all evil. The Bible says that he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. The devil tries to hurt us in every way that he can. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. One day God will indeed wipe away all the sickness, all the evil, and all the pain. Then all who have trusted in the Lord will live together in total perfection, where there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no sorrow, no sin, no shame. We'll be living forever in heaven with Jesus Christ. We are here for a dress rehearsal for what's going to happen on the other side of this life. And it's called eternity with Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry that things happen. And I'm sorry that we experience loss. And I'm sorry that you're disappointed. But do not be disappointed in God, because God is a good God. And guess what else? God loves you. In all of this, we lose the fact that God loves us. He loves you so very much. Do you remember John 16? Probably one of the first things you ever memorized as a Bible verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves us. But when terrible things happen, it's easy to think that God doesn't love us. But he does. He's shown it in a million ways. Most of those have been very subtle, that he's shown it in a million ways. But the greatest way he showed that is when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. That's one of the greatest expressions of God's love that will ever be known. Listen, life is hard. I understand that. But understand this truth. God loves you. And if you'll remember that, if you'll let it be the foundation of who you are, the foundation of your relationship with him, if it will always be the thing that you can stand on, it will change everything else you believe. You see, what we believe, our core values and our relationship with God, if it never shatters, then it will always be the basis on everything else we'll build on. But if tragedy, if problems, when life doesn't turn out the way I expect, when it destroys that and it crumbles that, then you know what? The foundation you're trying to live on immediately gets crumbled as well. God is a good God. God loves you. And you know what? God's going to help you. I like that word help, don't you? I like it when people come to help. I like it when somebody's there, especially when they have the tools and they have the equipment and they have the strength and they have the resources. I love it when people show up to help. He is the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. Follow me in Matthew, the 11th chapter. It says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is Jesus talking. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." I've seen what happens when I go it alone. I've seen what happens when I walk apart from God and I get over here in my own strength, my own energy, and my own thoughts, and I start getting dwelled up in what David thinks and what David feels and what David has experienced. And next thing I understand that I am living a very lonely experience and very limited experience, but God is here to help me. Listen, we're not promised tomorrow, but we are promised that God will be with us tomorrow. And guess what? Here's the cool thing about God's not waiting till tomorrow. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Well before when he knew that we would need, or we knew that we would need help, God just put it into motion that he was going to be there for us. He had made a commitment far beyond that. Listen, Beth, God knows a little bit about losing a son, but he knows a whole lot about taking you and Dave and your son and your daughter through this whole thing. I know you've already been through a lot, but boy, some great days are ahead of us. Preachers are supposed to say that. But you know, I'm not saying it because it's just a cute little cliche. It's because it's the truth. And it's the truth for all of us. Regardless of whether we're walking through something like that right now, it's the truth for all of us. We are not here to glorify our problems. We're not here to give Satan any credit whatsoever. We're here to glorify God. Because he's the one who sees us through all of those problems. Let me remind you who God is. God is your healer. God is your healer. God is your redeemer. He is the one who forgives you. He is your provider. He's the person who gives you comfort when you need it. He's the one who supplies the hope that you desperately need and seek. He is the one that causes you to be strong when you're weak. He is the one that gives you peace when there is no peace and nothing but chaos rules your life. That's who God is. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Have you been betrayed lately? Isn't that a lot of fun? Somebody just deserts you, leaves you high and dry. You feel like they were right there, but not so much anymore. You remember in the Bible, there was these twins born in the Old Testament, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob deceived his brother out of his birthright. And that relationship would forever be defined by anger. But guess what? Anger was defeated by forgiveness. We forgive others because God forgave us. Forgiveness may be the rule of the day, even though betrayal was the event that has marked that relationship. Have you been abused? Have you been mentally, physically, maybe sexually mistreated by somebody else? You know, there's not a whole lot of comfort in the church in talking about these kinds of things. Those are the things that a lot of times they never get spoken. They're so private and they're so invasive and they're just so embarrassing somehow. But these things never get talked about. And you know, the toughest thing about it is that whenever somebody is abused, the abuser seems to walk away free, but the abused, somehow their life is diminished. They feel like they don't have any worth anymore. Maybe I deserve this. Maybe I asked for this. It just amazes me. These things are said about there. These thoughts come, and they're the ones being abused. Can I just tell you, regardless of what you've gone through, whatever you have experienced, regardless of how somebody else has treated you, you are still special in God's eyes. You are still somebody. You are still somebody so valuable that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. And that may be just a church statement to you, but it doesn't diminish the fact that it is still true. You are special in God's eyes. Have you been someone who has experienced loss? Listen, lost in life, doesn't matter if it's a person, doesn't matter if it's a job, doesn't matter if it's a marriage, doesn't matter what it is. Loss in life doesn't have to bring a loss of faith. You can be strong in God. God can still help you through all of this. Because what happens when we lose things? We go through so many different phases. Usually it starts with anger. We end up in despair. We don't know what else to do. We're just enveloped to all of this stuff. But anger and despair can give way to hope, because it's the hope that God declared in Jeremiah 29:11. But it's also the hope that somehow it's just undefined. But in here, the very reason that we ask Jesus into our heart is because there's hope associated with this. It's not just, I'm guilty, I need forgiven. No, there's hope. I can be a new person. I can have a new life. I can have a new reality. I can have a new future. And that's what he did in that respect. Has rejection been your common companion for far too long? Your greatest thing that you carry around? Seems like everybody, you seem to get rejected here and there. No one seems to accept you, at least on your terms. It's very difficult. Rejection may be a fact of life, but it is not the measure of your worth in God's eyes. When somebody says no to you, when you're rejected, when you don't get that job, you don't get that promotion, somebody doesn't say yes to your request or your question, all of that begins to well up in there. And Satan loves it when it begins to build in you bitterness, because that's what rejection usually brings, just a boatload of bitterness. But let me tell you, starting with God, you can go from being bitter to accepted. Accepted. Don't you like that word? I like acceptance. We would like to think that everybody walks into this church, and you know what? We're not perfect. I've told you this a million times. We're not perfect. We're working on it, but we're not perfect. And you know what? If you've never been hurt by this church, stick around. We'll do something to disappoint you. We won't sing the right song. I won't shake your hand. I'll preach the wrong sermon. Something's going to happen. I'm telling you. Rejection goes like that. But I'm going to tell you what God has. God wants you to be accepted. That word acceptance is a powerful word. It's amazing what we'll go through to be accepted. A young lady will give up her virtue and her virginity just to be accepted and wrapped in the arms of a younger man because she's been rejected through her family. A young man not finding a place in life will take up everything from drugs to you name it to just find a place of acceptance. They'll join gangs. They'll do unbelievable stuff. And the whole thing is under this. God says, listen, I accept you. And here's the great thing about it. There's this great word. We like to use it, but we won't use it in conjunction with ourselves when we look in the mirror. But it's this: I accept you unconditionally. Every one of us has a list of the things that we think is wrong with us. God says, you know what? The only thing wrong with you is your sin. If we can take care of that through Jesus Christ, we're good. We're good. That may sound simple, but it's still the truth. Today, are you in pain? Physical or emotional pain? Man, that's measured in a lot of different ways. But pain can be paralyzing. Absolutely paralyzing. I mean, whether it's your health or anything else, it's just tough. Remember that guy in the Old Testament, his name is Job? I mean, in one little paragraph, it seems like, as we read his story, he lost it all. I mean, man, all of his livestock, all of his family, everything. And guess what? His health, too. I mean, he lost it all. But you know what? Job taught us that you can be spiritually whole while you've lost everything. When everything around you is broken and it's just been reduced to dust and ashes, you can still be spiritually whole. And that's because we have a God that's not going to worry about what you're going through. What he is going to worry about is where you're going. Remember that why freezes you in the past in this place of negativity where there's no answers, but what now moves us toward what God is sending us to, and that's where we want to go today. Have you failed? Of course. And we've all failed. I like that word failed more than I like the word sin, don't you? Because sometimes it just fails in life. You try something, you try business, it fails. You know, you try this, it fails. That's okay. But sometimes that failure represents a sin in our life. We have not only failed, but we have sinned. But have you been crippled by that failure? Better yet, or worse yet, I should say, are you defined by that failure? How many times do you look in the mirror and you will not allow God to give you a good life because you've already defined yourself by the failure you were? How that you left that relationship, how that you let that person down, how you told that lie, how you went that place, you were on the internet, your private life, public life, all kinds of things. We begin to mean ourselves. And hey, you know what? It still may be the truth. It may be the fact that these things happen, but you do not have to be defined by that. Matter of fact, most of us who Jesus Christ has done a lot of great things in our life, we're now defined by the testimony of where God has brought us from where we were. We're not still back there. It may be a part of our record, but it's not a part of our future. It will not define where we go unless we let Satan do that to us. Peter told Jesus, Last Supper, this is it. Jesus is fixed to be betrayed. He told him. He warned him. Peter says, even if all these guys leave you, I will die for you. Powerful, verbal, public statement. And what did he do short time later? Denied Jesus 3 times. Epic failure. I said that because I'm trying to be cool. It's cool to say epic every now and then, right? That's it's a youth thing. Youth thing. To me, huge, huge, huge failure. You know what followed that? Remorse, guilt, shame. Been there? Are you there? The cool thing is our brightest days are ahead of us. You know why? I want you to look at this screen. Because grace never ends. Grace never ends. Grace doesn't have a shelf life. Grace, not only does it never end, but it goes far beyond any failure, any rejection, any abuse, any betrayal, any loss. Because we need to be reminded that when Jesus died on the cross, yes, it was the image and the expression of grace. I am dying for you, but it wasn't just for our sins. Everything that has broken your heart and broken your family and broken your will, Jesus on that cross through his shed blood accomplished the victory for you if you indeed will allow Jesus to be the expression of grace once again. Because grace never ends. Will you say that with me? Grace never ends. I want you to say it one more time because what I want you to know, I want you to say it because you believe it. Now, you don't have to get loud for me to believe that you understand that, but I want you to say it so that your words will be registered in your mind and in your ears, and because you believe it. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times Satan wants to tell you this is a bunch of baloney. He wants to tell you that regardless of what this preacher says and regardless of what the next few moments are going to be, that you're still going to go out there and face that thing. And that's right, but this time you're going to face it with the fact that grace has been engaged in your life and it never ends and Jesus cares and God is a good God and God loves you and God helps you and God's here today to give you hope and a future. And if I could take a bullet for you on that, I would. But I can't. But guess who did? Jesus. Jesus took it for you on the cross. God forbid you let your life be defined by anything other than grace anymore. Anymore. Amen? Say it one more time. Grace never ends. God is a good God. God loves me. And he's here to help me. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. I'm going to ask in just a few moments. Man, I don't know what's on your heart today. This may not be an issue of eternity. In other words, this may not be about whether you're going to heaven or hell, but today, Satan has just left that little black cloud over your head too long. We've allowed him to cause us to live a defeated life, a life void of victory. We have been defined by all the things that life brings at us, and we have been clouded. We've literally been blinded by who God is in us. His grace never ends. And today I pray that you will allow him to set you free from some things that have held you back for way, way, way too long. And guess you know what? How long too long is? Any second. A second, minute, you name it. And some of us have been measuring some of this stuff. The abuse, it goes back to your childhood. And you've had a hard time leaving that and releasing yourself from that. Listen, you're never going to forget it. You'll probably always remember it. But what you need to remember from this day forward is it does not define the value of your worth in God's eyes. You're a beautiful creation. You're angry. You're bitter today. There's somebody, man, you just almost like to wring their neck. I understand that. You know you won't. You just have physical discipline and spiritual discipline not to do that, but you just like to teach them a lesson. Well, God wants to flood your heart today with forgiveness. Forgiveness. Man, all of these things are the tools of Satan. And today we're going to use one and one only tool of God, and it's called grace. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the next few moments, I pray that you will free us, Lord, from things, Lord God, that have held us back. Our failures, God, may be a public record in heaven. It may be publicly known to you. It may be private to everyone here. But today, God, we want to come before the cross and receive the grace that only Jesus Christ can give. Lord, this isn't about courage. This isn't about boldness. This is about acceptance. This is about accepting you as you have accepted us. And the Bible tells us you accepted us unconditionally. So today, Father, we come before you. Please provide our healing. Lord, take care of the brokenhearted. Take the crushed spirit and heal it today. Be our provider. Be our redeemer. Be our comfort. Be our strength, Lord God. Give us the peace that we've been looking for in a pill and in the bottle, but we need it today in you. Today, God, is our day to come and be with you once again. And maybe some of us for the first time ever. I'm going to ask you that you would bow your heads and close your eyes. You don't know Jesus. And what I mean by that, today, right now, you're not sure. You've heard a lot about Jesus. Church is not a foreign concept to you. But you're not sure if right now your life was required that you would go to heaven. You're not sure about that. I want you to raise your hand if you would. Just say, Pastor, pray for me. Today, I want to know the Jesus you've been preaching about. I want to know that today he's going to take care of me in that respect. My failure is going to be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody, anybody, praise God. But your life is still not what it ought to be. And God wants to free you from things. Pastor, I got some stuff that I want Jesus Christ to take off my plate. How many? Raise your hands. You got a need. You got a concern. You got a thought. Man, today is the day that God is going to do something glorious in your life if you will let him. And I'm going to ask you to do, we do this in church not because we want to point anybody out, but because it's a step of faith. It's you actually stepping out and saying, God, I believe on you today. If you raised that hand, you meant it with all of your heart, you'd like to ask Jesus to do something dynamic in your life today, I'm not going to interview you. We're not going to interrogate you. We are going to love you. God said, I love you. God says, I wanted my people to love you. And all we're going to do is just comfort and be a part of that and agreeing with you. Somebody by you will come with you if you need some help. But I'm going to ask you right now to leave your seat and come. If you raise that hand and you really want Jesus to do something cool in your life, you need to have that stuff broken from you. You need to leave that stuff somewhere else. Today is the day that you need a step of freedom. I'm going to ask you to do that right now. Will you boldly just step out from where you are? Come to the front of this altar. In just a minute, there's a lot of people going to come for a lot of reasons. But right now, this is for you. This is for a moment that God has identified in your life and said, I want you to bring that to me. I've already died for it. I've already loved you through it. But today, this is no longer going to be a part of your history. It's not going to be a part of your life. Today, we're going to free you of that. And we're going to give you, well, guess what? Those two cool words out of Jeremiah 29 chapter, hope and a future. I like that combination. I like it a lot. Anybody else? Real quick. Real quick. Real quick. Anybody else? Come. The altars are open. Now I want the rest of you. You know somebody or you'd like to pray for somebody up here. Maybe there's something that needs to be put back under the blood today. That's you. I'm going to open this altar for whatever need you have. If you want to come, you just come down here. If you, especially if you need healing in your body, I would like for you to meet me right down here by this communion table. And we would like to anoint you with oil so that God can just touch your life and touch your body today. As they sing this song, sing it with them. Pray for what's going on in this altar and join us if you want to. Amen. Praise your name, O God.